This is the Reverend Christy Hoard from St. John's Episcopal Church in Pensacola, Florida. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast, St. John's Talks, a collection of sermons, interviews, and speaker events here at St. John's Episcopal Church. I hope you enjoy.
In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated. So welcome to the end of the second week of Advent, this time of waiting and preparation for Christmas, and that's right, already the second week of Advent. As we prepare for the coming of Christmas, I don't know about you all, but it always feels a little pressed for time, and this season does not disappoint. But like so many things to do, some of you may have parties to attend, food to prepare, cards to be sent, gifts to purchase, and wrap, and prayers to say, and candles to light, and trees to decorate, a never-ending list of things. Now, I will say, as a mother of two, modern technology has really helped in this way of preparation, sort of really more a way of procrastination, because Amazon Prime can get you what you need in 2 days. Now, I don't know if you noticed, but when I was on Amazon Prime, it's taking them a little longer than 2 days these days. So just a heads up, everyone, if you're waiting till the last day. There's so much to do. There was several years ago, I took a journey with several other seminarian classmates to Israel. And we were there for 2 weeks. And it was a powerful experience in many ways, transformative, as you might imagine, very educational, moments of awe, inspiration, confusion, and challenging. And there are many, many wonderful stories that came out of that trip. And this theme today of peace, the second Sunday of Advent, we think about peace. We think about the one who is coming, preparing the world, preparing the way for the one who will make the paths straight. This idea of peace reminded me of one of those stories. You see, the water that flows through the Jordan River that we hear about today is fed by a spring. And the spring is up in the Israel-Syria border. Now, we had visited this spring that feeds the Jordan River a few days before we made our way down towards Jericho. And up where it begins, the water is very clean, crisp, clear, and cool. One of the seminarians was brave enough to actually drink some of it. We were all like, ah! But by the time the stream becomes the eastern border between Israel and Jordan, it is wide and muddy. The riverbed is lined with reeds and tall grass and dense brush. And the trickling stream that we encountered becomes a river where John would perform many baptisms. A voice crying in the wilderness, "I baptize you with water, but he who is coming after me will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." Now, not unlike many of the historical sites that we visited in our time there, this particular location along the Jordan River is set up for tourists. It's one of the things that many of my classmates encounter when we go to see all of these holy sites, remembering that it's kind of set up like Disney World. It's made for long lines and people waiting. So you have to be able to remove those parts of the scenery around to get a glimpse of maybe what it was like. But there was ample parking, and there were other large groups from around the world there to visit this site. Buses full of pilgrims like us. And now this site where we go is essentially out in the middle of nowhere. There is no town nearby. You have to travel through many checkpoints in and out of the West Bank to get there. And as we made our way down toward the river, several of us took our shoes off as you might, to stand on the shallow steps that led into the water. And the dark, soft mud on the river bottom oozed between our toes, and the brisk water created a slight numbness to our feet and our calves. But see, the River Jordan runs along the Israeli-Jordan border. Half of the river is in Israel, and half of the river is in Jordan. And to designate this border, there's a metal pole out in the middle of the water, and it was painted red, right there in the middle of the river. And just across the river on the other side, there's an armed soldier with a rifle, ammunition across his chest, a bulletproof vest, signifying that this was indeed a border. Of course, on the Israeli side, there is an equally outfitted soldier standing behind us. And as we gathered together along the riverbank and offered our collective prayers and recognizing the significance of our baptism and the work of John the Baptist as he came before Jesus, and we reflected on scripture, reflecting on the significance of this ministry, and we stood there in the river dreaming, trying to push out this idea of the tumult that was around us, these two older women made their way down to the river. And they were not a part of our group, but as I stood there in the squishy mud, I looked over. And they were dressed in white gowns, which I recognized from the gift shop. I did mention Disney World. There was a gift shop. And the women giggled with excitement. And each of them carried a towel. And as they waded into the water, I tried to avert my eyes, but I couldn't help but watch. And they slowly and carefully entered the water. And there was a part of me that wanted to yell, "Don't go too far, do you see the pole?" And one of them stopped to hang her towel on the handrail, afraid it would fall into the water. I slowly made my way over and picked it up. And I expected that the icy, cold water, by now I couldn't feel my feet or my calves, might stop them short, but it didn't. And they continued down to the very last step, well above their waist into this water. And holding on to the handrail, because the steps were a little slimy, each submerged her head into the water 3 times. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And they were impassioned and unashamed and vulnerable in the presence of God, despite what the world was telling them around them. And I fought back an overwhelming urge to wade into the stream with them and to jump in and join them and relish in this moment of pure, unadulterated joy. Their desire for that connection overcame all of the awkwardness that would have stopped many people. And as they made their way out of the river, I offered the towel and wrapped it around one woman's shoulders, and she looked at me, and her eyes were sparkling with elation, and her heart was a mile wide, and she spoke to me kindly in an unfamiliar language. But I could tell that she welcomed me into her experience, and I was incredibly grateful. And as we made our way back to our bus, I stopped at the shower to rinse off my feet, and the two women from the river were there as well, laughing and giggling and expressing their joy and song. And they reminded me of my daughters when I would hear them in their beds at night, singing and laughing and softly chattering. A vision of peace in the midst of visible unrest. A sheer example of peace in the midst and being surrounded by visible unrest. How do we find and live into this peace? This peace that passes all understanding. If we just look at the news headlines day to day, week to week, it is easy to lose hope, to become overwhelmed, to lose faith that there is anything close to this thing we hear about peace. But friends, peace is not merely the absence of war or the absence of pain or sorrow. Peace is recognizing, as Mother Teresa once said, if we have no peace, it is because we have forgotten that we belong to each other. If we have no peace, we have forgotten that we belong to each other. So yes, this idea of world peace seems incredibly daunting. And what does it look like? It is hard to say. And perhaps even impossible to imagine. And it is certainly impossible for us to try to do it alone. But there is a power in a collective consciousness. Last week we talked about hope, and we talked about that hope. We don't hope for what is happening now, we hope for what is to come. And we hope for peace. And we remember that we belong to each other. And John the Baptizer, as people from all the Judean countryside came to see him, what do you think they were longing for? They were longing for something. And they heard of this man, and that when people met him and encountered him, their lives were transformed. And he's saying, we're only getting started, friends. Wait until you meet this man, Jesus Christ. In the midst of all of the pain and sorrow, we encounter the one who wants to dwell in a place that is so tender and pliable that we can be transformed by the words, transformed by his presence, and there will be stillness and calm and quiet in the midst of chaos and violence. Just as those two women entered into the river surrounded by evidence that the world was quite unsettled and not at peace, and they experienced the ever-cleansing power of the Holy Spirit to recognize that there is something that is bigger than this world can offer. As I stood along the bank of the Jordan River and I witnessed these two women reminding themselves and committing themselves to this eternal promise of a loving God. And their public act, probably not unlike those who encountered John the Baptist on the river, invited me to join in. I was invited in. I was present in that moment as well. People from the whole Judean countryside were going out to meet John the Baptist because they were seeking something different. And how many of us are not hoping and seeking something different than what this world tells us matters and is? And we can look at it and say, no, I don't think so. I think there's something more fulfilling, a new way of being. And John says, yes, come. Baptism will change you. But wait until you meet the one who is after me. John the Baptist is the patron saint of St. John's Episcopal Church. And if we read about his description, he was wild and wore camel's hair. That is fitting for us here at St. John's Episcopal Church. I would love to see us all be a little wild before the Holy Spirit. If you haven't been baptized before, I would love to talk to you more about being baptized, because it is through our baptism that we are invited in to this idea of peace that passes all understanding. And it is through our baptism we are called to invite others as well. Amen.